Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 4th of July, 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we had a very special service. It was a double baptism service, where Joel and Amy showed their devotion to God by being baptised. Andy also started a new series where we'll be looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I'm sorry about the quality of the audio on this one. We had some really strange things happening during the recording, but I've done my best with it. So after Andy's sermon, we'll hear the two baptisms and their testimonies as well. So let's go and join Andy for his sermon.
In Mark's Gospel, at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Jesus' teaching is likened to a farmer who goes out with his seed onto the land and spreads the seed around him. And we know that some of that seed falls on hard ground. And it isn't welcomed into people's lives. It isn't received. It doesn't take root. And it dries up and or is strangled and dies. And other seed falls on good soil, which is welcoming to it and receives the word, the teaching of Jesus, and that seed goes deep into people's lives and takes root, is nourished, and grows and produces fruit. That's in Mark's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus' teaching is likened to a rock on which our lives are built or not. Some choose to build their lives on Jesus' teaching, and others choose not to. And Jesus' teaching is likened to a rock. Today, we are beginning a new teaching series on Sunday mornings. We're basing this new series in the Sermon on the Mount, what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew Gospel, chapter 5 to chapter 7. And we're going to consider Jesus' teaching, the words of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And we're going to ask ourselves the question, how then should we live? How should we live in the world as people who belong to Jesus and who seek to build their lives on Jesus? And in a moment, Paula is going to come and read that very well-known passage to us. But before she comes, let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your word, which has brought us life. We want to thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit, who brings that word to us and enlivens it and enlightens our lives and our spirits. And we pray, Lord, this morning, that as we sit around your word, as we sing songs of worship and praise, as we hear people's story, as we witness baptism, Lord, we pray in all these things that you would speak into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, and that you would enliven your word and enlighten us and illumine us, that we may be people who build our lives on the rock of Jesus and nothing else. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, as I said this morning, there are a few people here, I think, who might be experiencing a birthday this week. I did see Chaz coming through the door, but I can't see him now. He's right there. Chaz, I won't go on anymore, but suffice to say, I believe, is it this week or at the end of this week or perhaps even at the beginning of next week, you celebrate a birthday? He hasn't worked it out yet. I know that there were others here who were in the first service. It's Jean Ashford's birthday this week. I think it's Pauline Spink's birthday this week. I don't know if she's here. Is Pauline here? No? Yes? Well, I can't see. Pauline, wave at me. Oh, they're right in front of me. There you are. I believe I'm correct in thinking. We'll come on to that in a moment. I believe it's Mr. Siner's birthday, though I haven't seen him this morning. No, yeah, he's here. Mr. Siner, I think it's your birthday on Wednesday. Yeah, and is it your birthday, Louisa? Is it your birthday this week, Louisa? Today? Happy birthday, Louisa! Yeah. Is it anybody else's birthday this week? Ava's first birthday. Yeah? Yeah. And Joe's birthday. All this week. And then somebody else said there was somebody else's birthday. It's my birthday this week. Yeah, it's all right. I'm just letting you know, just make sure it's big or expensive or edible. Indeed, I'm not just telling you that for the fun of it. But I was born just a few years ago in Nigeria, in Africa, as you will know, or many of you will know. And when I was born, as parents do, I was given my names that root me into my family. So I was given my first name is Marcus, and Marcus was my father's eldest brother's name. Also, he was nicknamed Sonny, which I think is rather lovely, but his name was Marcus, and my father never knew him because he died when my father was a young lad. But that's why I was given the name Marcus. It's an old McCausland family name, roots me into my family. I was given that my second name is Andrew, the name you know me by, the name my parents chose, because it doesn't have any particular link with my family, because they liked it, and that's what they wanted to call me. And my third name is Patrick, and I got my name Patrick because that is my father's name. And so in the names that I was given at birth, I'm rooted into my family. But I was also given a fourth name, and I have told you before what my fourth name is. Can anyone remember my unofficial name? Name I was given at birth. No, you can't remember. My fourth name is Tukumbo. Can you say that? Tukumbo. So I am Marcus Andrew Patrick Tukumbo McCausland. Now, Tukumbo means... late, did you say? I wish I was quick enough, Malcolm. I wish I was quick enough. Actually, I was bang on time and perfect. Where was I? Tukumbo. Born overseas. That's what it means. I used to think it meant white man born overseas, but I know a few African men who are also called Tukumbo. So it just means born overseas. And I was given that name to root me into the place where I was born. And I found myself... I didn't, because I didn't really know it when I was so young, but I lived, if you like, in two kingdoms. I was English, but living abroad. English, living in Africa. I lived, if you like, in two kingdoms, but I didn't have dual nationality or dual citizenship. And I'll come back to that shortly. But I have heard that it was said that Christians live in two kingdoms. Have you heard that? That we live in two kingdoms. The kingdom of God on one hand and the kingdom of the world on the other hand. But I want to ask this morning, is that possible? Is it possible for Christians to actually live in two kingdoms? What I want to suggest is rather than living in two kingdoms, we live in the context of two kingdoms. We live in only one kingdom, but in the context of two. We live as Christians in the kingdom of God, but in the context of the kingdom of the world. But we only have one nationality. We do not have dual nationality. Jesus came to bring the reality of the kingdom of God into our experience and within our reach. All the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and all the writers of the epistles and the letters after the gospels all are absolutely clear that Jesus' message is simply this: the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. Right from the beginning of his ministry, right to the end of his ministry, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is amongst you. The kingdom of God is within reach. There are 116 references to the kingdom of God in the four Gospels. And 53 of those are just in the Gospel of Matthew. It is a significant, it is the major theme of Jesus' teaching, preaching, and of the Gospels. The kingdom of God. Everything Jesus taught is about the kingdom of God. Everything Jesus did, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they were all a sign of the kingdom of God breaking into our experience, breaking into the kingdom of the world. You see, the kingdom of God, and I want us to grasp this morning, the kingdom of God is not just something, a theory, or a mere concept in our heads, something out there. The kingdom of God is very real and very much amongst us. It is tangible. It is something we can experience here and today. The kingdom of God is here, is with us. At the beginning of his gospel, John wrote these words of Jesus in describing him to the world. John wrote, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, because he was in the kingdom of God. He was of the kingdom of God, and the people of the world did not recognize him, could not recognize him." And later in John chapter 8, Jesus said of himself, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, but I am not of this world." You see, it's not just a mere concept. The kingdom of God is the place in which Jesus lived. And Jesus, when we accept Jesus' invitation to believe in him and to follow him, John says in chapter 3, as I preached on a few weeks ago, we are born again by the Spirit of God, and by this new birth, we are born as children of God and citizens of heaven. And as I said to the congregation this morning, that deserves a hallelujah. Thank you. That we are born as children of the kingdom of God, citizens of heaven. And I sometimes wonder if we truly and fully understand the wonder of the truth of that statement, that we are in the kingdom of God. Listen to these words from Colossians 1, and then you can say another hallelujah. For those of you that take a few moments to prepare for that, you've got a few moments to prepare. Listen to these words from Colossians 1. "And we pray that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father," listen, "who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins."
Amen.
Yes. You're getting there. I love the King James Version of verse 13. It says this: "Who hath delivered us," that is the Father, God the Father, thank you Father, "God the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Hallelujah. Do you know you've been translated this morning? We haven't been lost in translation somehow. But we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that is for us as Christians. Can Christians have dual nationality? No. It is impossible for someone who is a child of the kingdom of God to be a citizen of the world and to live in the kingdom of the world. But listen to what Jesus said about you and me in his high priestly prayer in John 17. They, and that is his disciples, that's you and me, if you're a disciple of Jesus today, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Isn't that amazing, brothers and sisters? Jesus is not of this world. Jesus is of the kingdom. And through faith in the Lord Jesus and in him living in us, neither are you or I. We are children of the kingdom of God. We do not have dual nationality. We cannot serve two kings. We can only serve one master. And I challenge the first congregation, and I'll say the same. Are you this morning a sinner or a saint? You can discuss it. But the answer is this: you are a saint if you belong to Jesus. You may be a saint that sins. You may be a sinful saint. But you are a saint, nevertheless, because you have left behind the dominion of darkness. You have left behind the sinful way. And you, if you belong to Jesus, are no longer defined as a sinner. You are defined as a saint, because you are in the kingdom of the Son of God. Of course, as citizens of the kingdom of God, we reside in the midst of the kingdom of the world. What the author says is the dominion of darkness. But we reside in that world not as citizens of that world, but as foreigners, just like I was, an Englishman in Africa. We are foreigners, or as the Apostle Peter says, strangers and aliens. So, if we are citizens of the kingdom of God, the big question is this. The big question for you and me is this: how then should I live? How then should I live my life? And that is the exact question that Jesus is answering in the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to be studying over these next few weeks and months. That question, how then should I live? If I am a child of the kingdom of God, how then should I live? We read in Matthew 4, if you want to turn to it. Paula, I haven't even asked you to read yet. Would you come and read for us now? I got too carried away. I do that. It's a problem, but Paul is going to come and read to us now. That's all right. The passage in, if you want to turn to it, Matthew chapter 7, be familiar to you.
Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Thank you very much. So have that passage open, but just turn a few pages before to Matthew chapter 4. For in Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus had begun his ministry in and around Galilee, and that he had already called together his 12 disciples. But by the end of chapter 4, we read that Jesus began to get incredibly popular. Verse 25 of chapter 4 says that great crowds followed him. They followed him from Galilee, from Jerusalem, so Galilee up in the north of Israel, from Jerusalem down in the south, from the whole of Judea, and beyond the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan, east of the Jordan, and also from the Decapolis. And the Decapolis was literally 10 cities. If you know Israel, on the eastern side is the Golan Heights, and the other side of the Golan Heights, places like Syria, Damascus. Damascus was one of the 10 cities, the Decapolis. So people were coming from that whole area, a huge area, and they were coming to follow Jesus, to learn from Jesus. But the Sermon on the Mount itself begins in chapter 5, verse 1, if you read it with me. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, and that's an important sign, because when a rabbi sat down, his disciples knew that he was about to teach, and that therefore that they should listen. So Jesus sat down, and as all good disciples should, the disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And we're going to look at, in the next few weeks and months, of what Jesus taught, and ask that question, how then should we live today? But having read that, and having introduced and given some background to the sermon, I want to do a very logical thing, which is begin this series at the end. Who reads the end of the book first? Oh, not many of you. I was hoping for more, but there you are. And I'm going to begin this series by looking at this little passage here at the end. Jesus closes his Sermon on the Mount, this element of his teaching, with this parable, the wise and foolish builders. And as Paula was reading it, I was half expecting you all to go, you know, like this, rain came down, the floors went whoosh, and it stood firm. You wanted to do that, did you, Paula? Yeah. And the rains, and the flood, and the crash, it all came tumbling down. We know it so well, don't we? The point of that parable is this. If you want to live as a disciple of the kingdom of God, and Jesus has just painted that picture, if you want to live as a disciple of the kingdom of God, you've got to get your foundations right. Your foundations have got to be right. Otherwise, the building will come crashing down. I was chatting to someone the other day, and I believe as I was talking to them, the Holy Spirit gave me a picture in my mind of cross stitch. Anybody do cross stitch? Makes you cross, doesn't it? Yeah, it really does. Okay, well, you can correct me afterwards if you really must. Don't take this too far. But I got this picture of cross stitch, and the thing about cross stitch is that every stitch you make is based on the last stitch, the previous stitch that you do. You base it all on that. So it's that many squares down, that many squares along. You start and you do start doing cross stitch. I've never done it. I'm sure it's wonderful. I'm never likely to take it up myself. But anyway, and the picture that I had in my mind was this, that when you make a mistake in cross stitch, actually you have to go all the way back to the mistake, redo the mistake, except properly this time, and then redo the cross stitch, so that the rest of the cross stitch is built on a something that is right and not something that is an error, not something that is false. And you know, I am absolutely convinced, I've seen it with my own eyes, I'm convinced that many of the problems that we face as Christians is that when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, we don't get rid of the old foundation. We try and build a new life in Christ on top of a sandy foundation, something that will not sustain the building. And that you cannot build the kingdom of God on the foundations of the kingdom of the world. You have to change the foundations. Any Americans here? Is Sally here this morning? No. Well, today's Independence Day, when they got independent from us lot, and I'm sure they're rejoicing today. But as Christians, we have to declare independence from our old way of life. We have to declare independence from the foundations that we had laid of the world. And we have to lay a new foundation. And sometimes with new Christians and older Christians, some of the work that we're involved in is actually deconstructing some of their old foundations, because they're trying to live a Christian life on something that is other than the Lord Jesus, on things that people have told them in their past which are not of the Lord Jesus at all. And I'll perhaps say a little bit more about that towards the end of the service. But if our foundations are not right, the rest of our lives won't be right either. However good the building may be, the building won't last because the foundations are not right. The Leaning Tower of Pisa will one day collapse, even though it's a stunning building. And it will collapse because its foundations aren't right. And what needs to happen is that it needs to be taken down, reset foundations and rebuilt. But will they do that? No. Let me remind us of what Jesus said. Everyone who hears my words and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock, and when it is struck by storms, the house stands firm. But everyone who hears my words and does not do them is like a foolish man. He builds his home on sand, and when it is struck by storms, the foundations cannot hold the house, and it crashes to the ground. Just before this little parable, Jesus gives two warnings, verses 15 to 23. Being a disciple, and many people have this misconception that being a disciple of Jesus is about what we say and do. And Jesus knocks that on the head. And we'll look at that a little bit more as we travel through the sermon. But suffice to say today that there are many religious people who consider that outward appearance takes precedence over the true condition of our hearts and our lives. And heed Jesus' words in verse 21. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. That's challenging, isn't it? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say, Lord, did we not prophesy, cast out demons, do mighty works in your name? But I will declare to them, go away. I never knew you. That's a challenging thought. Hearing the right stuff, even hearing the right stuff here this morning, seeing the right stuff, knowing the right stuff, saying the right stuff, and sometimes even doing the right stuff, does not qualify you to be a disciple of the kingdom of God. Jesus' invitation is clear: to hear him and build your life upon him. And the consequence of not building our lives on him, and we'll see this as we go through, is unfulfillment and ultimately calamity. Jesus, the author of life, says, if you want to experience fullness of life, build your life on me. If we don't, we won't. Simple as that. Baptist minister Rob Warner says, Jesus' specific concern is that we embrace the demanding task of seeking to live out his teaching. It's not enough to give nominal assent to Jesus' wisdom or goodness. It is not enough to offer him worship Sunday by Sunday. Quite simply, the life of discipleship is a life of obedience. In the details and decisions of everyday living, we are called to continuing obedience, putting into practice the teaching of Jesus we have received. I don't know if you've seen it, but as I drive into Minehead down through the parks, and I notice it's in other parts of the town as well, there's an advert that says, advertising works, you are reading this. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's also in the town centre, but it's up that road. Advertising works, you are reading this. They claim that their advert has been successful because it's got my attention and I'm reading it. But hasn't it missed the point? Has the advertising really worked? Surely an advert is only successful when it has persuaded me to do something about it. Part with my money and purchase something. Isn't that right? Listen, seeing is not believing. And there are many of us, perhaps even here this morning, who see the Lord Jesus, but in effect we actually don't believe in him because we're not building our lives on him. Seeing is not believing. Believing is doing. Believing is doing. Believing in Jesus is doing what Jesus has told us to do. Now, in a short while, we're going to have the great joy, and I can't wait because I'm so hot. Is it hot in there, Martin? Or is it still hot in there? Oh, for crying out loud. I need cool water this morning. But in a while, we're going to have the great joy of baptizing Joel here, and we're going to hear his story, and Amy over there. Baptism is an act of belief, obedience. They are doing what they believe. They're not just saying, oh yeah, I believe that. They're putting it into practice in their lives. I don't intend this morning to go through, as I might on other occasions, what baptism, why we baptize in water, and what it means. I'm not going to go through that this morning. But to suffice to say, if you're asking that question, if you're not really sure, there's a little sheet here, and you can take it away with you at the end of the service if you want to know what baptism is and why do we do it. But in brief, in baptism, Joel and Amy this morning are declaring publicly their allegiance to Jesus. But they have responded personally to Jesus' invitation by putting their faith in him and receiving him into their lives. And in baptism, they are declaring publicly that they've changed their citizenship. They are no longer citizens of the world, but because Jesus has rescued them from the dominion of darkness and he has brought them into the kingdom of his Son, who he loves. They are children of God by the Holy Spirit and citizens of heaven. And they're declaring that publicly this morning. And their commitment now is this, that from this moment, they will build their lives on Jesus, on the rock, on the Lord Jesus. For the rest of us, their baptism raises questions for each of us. On whom is your life built? On whom is your life built? And who or what is the foundation of your life? It's a really important question. What is the foundation? Who is the foundation of your life? Lord, I pray that you would be speaking to us by your Holy Spirit, and that you would be asking us about on whom or on what are our lives built. Are they built on lies or truth? Are we citizens of the kingdom of the world, or have we been born again as citizens of heaven? And are we living as citizens of heaven? Lord, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts and to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Joel and Amy, do you want to come forward, and we're going to just hear your story. Joel, we're going to hear from you first. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is Joel. How old are you, Joel? Are you going to tell us that?
I'm 12.
12? There we are. We can hear you. 12 years old, and he's just going to share now something of his story. But I've met with Joel and had the privilege of just hearing a bit of his story and just hearing about his love for Jesus, and it's very real. The kingdom of God is very real. Yeah, you wait for me though, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Now you can talk.
Oh, okay. Well, as a younger child, I had some Christian influence in my life, and I used to wonder who Jesus really was. At first school, I used to, you know, pray and do things in assembly, but there wasn't any teachings about Jesus. Fortunately, my mum inspired me to seek more. My nanny and granddad, since they were Christian ministers, could help me understand and brought me my first children's Bible. I started to learn and memorize parables and the Ten Commandments and also understand faith. I was saved by the jellyfish man from New Zealand called Ian McCormack. His testimony was really interesting, especially since he was a surfer, which I had a liking to. So when an opportunity to be born again was offered, I took it. I was the first in line to be saved. Since then, I have been going to this church and learning more over the last year. I have been learning a few worship songs on the guitar, and then I found more information about baptism. As soon as I got the opportunity, Pastor Andrew kindly put me down in his notebook to be baptised, and that's where I am today. I'd like to say thank you to Mum and Dad, Nanny and Grandad, the pastor and Tim, Roy and Jenny, Ian McCormack, and all those in the church who have encouraged me and kindly supported me. But most of all, I'd like to say thank you for Jesus for saving me.
Amen. Amen. Stay with me. Do you want to stay with me? And Amy, to those of us that have been coming to the church for a long time, needs very little introduction, so I won't. I'll just say, Amy, it's really lovely. For me in particular, it's for various reasons really lovely to be able to be here with Amy today to baptise her. So let's hear a bit of your story.
I've been going to church all my life with my mum, and the first time that I became a Christian, I was about 10, and it was after a youth alpha meeting in Watchet, and I'd just moved to Minehead, and I asked Dave Rimford, as he took me home, to pull over so I could become a Christian, and he prayed for me, and that was the first time that I became a Christian. And since then, I prayed the prayer several times on different church trips and different things. And when I was 18, I got myself into a bit of a bad place, and I decided I needed to start again, and so I signed up with the BMS to do mission. And during the time that I found out I was going to go to the time that I went, I met Joe, and I went to Birmingham to start the training, knowing that I wouldn't be able to go on my gap year and to do the things that I'd wanted to do. And just before I came back, during the worship session, I prayed for forgiveness and guidance, and I felt an absolute sense of calm and knew that I wasn't alone. And since then, I've got married and had two girls, and at the baptism earlier this year, I felt God say it was my turn next. So I went on the Alpha course with John and Geraldine, and here I am.
Yeah, today. You did it, you did it. It wasn't that difficult, was it? Don't have a seat. So, Debbie, it's our practice that someone joins us in the water, someone who has been significant in the person who's being baptised in their life and in their spiritual growth. And Debbie is going to join me to baptise Amy. And Ken is going to come and join me with Joel. Ken is Joel's grandfather. So that's really wonderful. Oh, here they are. They're both here. So if Ken, if you'd like to come over. Now, folks, if you're over that end, you can certainly, if you turn around here, don't come any closer than these chairs, but you can look over if you want to come, or it'll be up on the screen so that everybody can see. But this is a wonderful moment. When we've baptized each of them, then the band will sing a song, lead us in a song that has been chosen by each of them. For Joel, who will baptize first, he's chosen the song, "I Want to Serve the Purpose of God in My Generation." Can anyone else put their hand up for that? I hope we all can. And Amy's chosen a beautiful worship song, "My Jesus, My Savior." So those we will sing as they're baptized. But if I can invite Joel into the water, Joel and Ken, if you'd like to come into the water. Oh, it's nice and refreshing. Praise the Lord. It's all right. Come on in. We're facing there, so that's it. It's all right, isn't it? Good man, come on in. Let Grandad in there. If you go in there, Ken. You come opposite me. So, Joel, we've heard your testimony. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve God in the world and in the church?
Therefore, Joel, on confession of faith in the Lord Jesus, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
We've heard your testimony. We give thanks to God for you. Just a couple of questions I want to ask you. In these waters, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve God in the world and in the church?
I do.
Therefore, Amy, on hearing your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptise you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's stand.
My Saviour, Lord, there is none like you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have given your life for us. And Lord, I pray that today you would be stirring in our hearts and in our minds, that we might be born again today of the Holy Spirit and become children of God, citizens of heaven. In Jesus' name, Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, you can go over to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And hopefully by the time you're listening to this, or in a couple of days, there might be some videos of the actual baptisms up on there as well. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.